May. I'm one of the animal keepers here at Monkey Haven, and I'm also a tour guide. So I'm going to introduce you to some of our rescued and rehomed primates and other exotic animals that we have here at Monkey Haven. So to start with, I'm going to introduce you to our rescued meerkats. So we do have 6 meerkats all together. As you can see, they're all separated into pairs, but this is for a very, very good reason. So unfortunately, they were kept by a neglectful breeder in Belgium, and he kept them all separated from each other. So unfortunately, living in pairs is all they've ever been used to. They don't know any different. This is all they've ever known. And he did keep some of them in rabbit hutches as well, which wasn't really much of a life for them. So they were previously kept in quite cramped conditions. They could barely move around. And as I said, they're all victims of the illegal pet trade, so they would have ended up as someone's pet sooner or later. So they were all rescued. They were rescued by the AAP, which is mainly a primate rescue centre based in the Netherlands. And we work really closely with the AAP because they rescue a lot of primates and other exotic animals, not only from the illegal pet trade, but also from animal testing and the entertainment industry, from places like circuses. So unfortunately, a lot of the animals that have been rescued by the AAP have been very mistreated and abused because they're victims of the entertainment industry or the pet trade. And we work closely with them because they're only a temporary home, so they only rescue, rehabilitate them, and then they move them on to somewhere more permanent, like us here at Monkey Haven. So we've rescued 5 out of 6 meerkats from the AAP. Also, some of our school monkeys came from them, our grivets, mangabey, and also some of our other primates came from the AAP. So we do work very, very, very closely with them. And I'll introduce you to all of the meerkats we have in here. So in this pen, we have Gobi and Savannah. Next door over there, we have Nyiri and Gibson. And the two in there are called Sahara and Karoo. So we have actually named them after all the major deserts in the world, because that's where they naturally come from. And as you can see, our meerkats are doing really well now. They've really, really settled down. They're a lot happier and healthier now. So yeah, that's our 6 rescued meerkats. Would you like to meet some primates now?
Yeah, let's get the primates. How long do your meerkats live for?
So in the wild, they can live up to 12 years of age, but in captivity, they do tend to live a lot longer because they're safe and sound, very well fed, and all of our animals are very spoiled and pampered, so they do tend to live a lot longer.
And you were saying that Gobi is a bit of a camera lover.
He is a bit of a poser. He's always sat there posing. He knows he's very photogenic. He knows he's pretty. He knows he's cute. So he loves to pose for the camera. A lot of our animals do. So I'll introduce you to our white-throated Capuchins next. So in here we have our 6 white-throated Capuchins. So in the wild, they're native to Brazil and other Latin parts of America. And they're very, very intelligent primates. They also have a very useful tail. Their tail's known as a prehensile tail. And it basically acts as a fifth limb. So to them, it's the equivalent to having an extra arm or leg. So they are acrobats when they travel around the tropical forests they live in. And they're very clever. So for many years, they have been exploited because unfortunately, they can be easily trained to do things, to do routines and tricks. Mm-hmm. So for many years, they were used on organ grinders. They were used as street performers, as photo props, and also used in circuses. And a long time ago, they were very popular. A lot of people kept them as exotic pets, but it has now become illegal to keep them as pets, and it's also now illegal to use animals in circuses as well. It's definitely illegal in this country, but unfortunately in America they're still used a lot in American TV entertainment. So they're quite iconic, they're quite famous monkeys. A lot of people recognize them straight away because they have appeared in movies like Night at the Museum, also TV shows like Friends. Ross has one called Marcel in a few of the episodes. And also films like Pirates of the Caribbean, which you guys probably know. There's one called Jack in Pirates of the Caribbean. And also films like Dr. Dolittle and George of the Jungle. So they're very, very popular monkeys to use on TV because of how clever they are.
Sorry, which were your monkeys? That one was bandaged up completely with adhesive tape.
So that was actually one of our Barbary macaques and also one of our grivets. One of our grivets, our male grivet Malta, he sadly was found in Malta Airport, so he was named after the airport. He was in someone's hand luggage and he was wrapped up in tape and cloth to keep him restrained and confined so he couldn't move or make a sound whilst they attempted to transport him through the airport for the illegal pet trade. And sadly, pardon? He's doing really, really well. He actually lives in that group over there. He lives with six females and he's very, very happy. He's in a big family group now and he's made great progress. He's doing really well. Unfortunately, he does suffer with epilepsy. Shortly after he was discovered, he was diagnosed with epilepsy. But we do give him medication twice a day to minimise the risk of him having seizures. And literally all we have to do is crush up his phenobarbital tablet and put it in a bit of banana. He eats it straight away. It's literally gone in seconds. So he's used to the routine of taking his medication, so he's doing really well. Yeah. And sadly, one of our capuchins in here, he's actually a victim of the illegal pet trade as well. Pepino, he was found chained up on a beach in Italy and he was being used as a photo prop. And he does bear scars all over his body from being mistreated, from wearing a collar that was too tight for him. And because of the stress, he ripped out most of his own fur. So he's the one that looks quite scruffy. A lot of people say he looks a bit like a grumpy old man, and he definitely has that personality.
You would be, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would be if you went through that. But he's now 30 years old, so he is quite elderly, and he's a lot happier and healthier now. When he first arrived, he was quite skinny, so he has put a lot of weight on since living here, and he has actually grown quite a bit of fur back as well. And he's not very loyal. He's very happy because he has two girlfriends, not just the one, two. So his two girlfriends are Malou and Lulu. And as you can see, we do actually have a very successful breeding group of white-throated capuchins. So he has had a couple babies since living here at Monkey Haven. So he is now a dad as well. So he's got a family. He's a lot happier. And that's actually Pepino. I think he's fast asleep at the moment. He's laying against the door. Enjoying the sunshine today. So I think he's sleeping and sunbathing today. But yeah, unfortunately, he's another victim of the illegal pet trade. So most of our animals either come from the illegal pet trade, animal testing, or they are rehomed from other zoos where they've been badly bullied by their groups, or the zoo's closed down, so they need rehoming, they need somewhere to go. But I'll introduce you to our Grivets now, who live just next door, if you're interested.
Yep.
So in here, we have our seven Grivet monkeys. So we've got six females and one male. As I said, our male's called Malta. He was the one discovered in Malta Airport in someone's hand luggage. And wrapping them up in tape and cloth is the main method that a lot of smugglers use to smuggle them through airports or across borders for the illegal pet trade.
Do they drug them as well? Or do they?
In some incidences, yeah. In some sometimes, occasionally, they will drug them. So it's easier for them to be restrained and transported for the illegal pet trade. And these are the lucky ones. These are the ones that were discovered. So they are lucky. Most of them are never found and they're never discovered.
Yeah.
And they make it across borders. They make it through airports. And then they do end up as someone's pet. And sadly, for example, 300 Barbary macaques, which are larger macaques over there, they actually take 300 baby Barbary macaques away from the wild every single year for the illegal pet trade.
Mm.
And the reason they take them away from the wild when they're babies is because they're vulnerable, they're easy to restrain, so they're smaller, so they could be hidden in hand luggage. And also they're more valuable. People are more likely to buy a baby monkey because they can then hand rear them and keep them as a pet. So most of them are discovered when they're babies, unfortunately. And some of our Grivet monkeys in here are ex-pets. For example, Violetta, she's an ex-pet, and also Soma. So Soma's actually sat by the tree stump, so that's Soma, the other one I introduced. She sat by the blue and white rope over there. And Soma was found in someone's house being kept in a parrot cage, which wasn't much of a life for her at all.
Yeah.
Luckily, Violetta, I think she's indoors at the moment, luckily Violetta was very well treated. Her owners did look after her, they did love her, she was spoiled and pampered. But they realised that what they were doing was wrong. They realised that keeping her as a pet was the wrong thing to do. So they actually handed her over themselves to the AAP. So they donated her themselves so she could have a better chance, a fresh start, a new life.
Have they visited to see her?
No, unfortunately they haven't. So all of these Grivets were actually rescued in and around the Netherlands. They were all rescued by the AAP initially. As I said earlier, we do work very closely with the AAP. So a lot of these Grivets have come from abroad. And I would imagine the owners probably weren't allowed to see the monkey, to see Violetta, because it is illegal to keep them as pets. But luckily they did do the right thing. And she's a lot happier now because she's living with other Grivets. It's a more natural life for her. And that's actually Malta over there, the male I introduced earlier, the one found in Malta Airport. And we do also have Pepper in here. I think she's indoors at the moment, unfortunately. She's the smallest one in the group. She's now 22 years old, so she's an old lady, little old lady.
Yeah.
And she was intercepted in Paris Airport.
Oh.
a tourist bought her in a market, and he was intending on taking her home and keeping her as a pet. Probably didn't realise it was illegal to buy and keep her. But once he got to the airport, the French stewards confiscated her. And when they took her to the vet, they realised she had really weak and crooked bones, and also a fracture in her left leg that had healed all on its own.
Yeah.
Sadly, we'll never know exactly what happened to her. She may have been abused and mistreated, or she may have been kept in a really cramped cage at a market. We'll never know her full story. But again, just like Malta, she's on medication to help with her weaker bones and joints. But would you like to meet the Barbary macaques now?
Yes.
Yes. So I did introduce you to one of them a moment ago. One of the ones was found in hand luggage, one of these ones over here. So yeah, we've had two that were found in hand luggage, unfortunately.
Oh. Gosh, so can you describe the Barbary macaques to us for our listeners?
Yes, so the Barbary macaques, they're a lot larger than rhesus macaques. They're actually native to Morocco, and there's a big population of them on the Rock of Gibraltar.
Yeah,
a lot of people know that population. They're very, very well known. There's a population of about 300 Barbary macaques on that one rock, and they're well known for terrorising tourists, for photo bombing pictures, and also stealing things from people.
Yeah.
They're well known thieves, so they will pickpocket you. If we walk too close to the enclosure, they will try and steal our mobile phones, sets of keys, microphones and radios. So they are little troublemakers. They are very, very mischievous. So they're very well known in Gibraltar. So a lot of people are aware of Barbary macaques. They've definitely seen them before, especially on TV, and if they've gone on holiday to Gibraltar. And we have four altogether. So that one there is our dominant male. His name is Hirchi. And the only reason Hirchi is the dominant male is because he's the only male. So he has no competition. He has an easy life. He just lives with girls. Because he is actually too young to be a boss. He's too young to be a dominant male. He's only 9 years old, bless him. So he's more like a dominant male in training. And Hirchi was the one found in hand luggage. He was found in Brussels Airport when he was about 9 months old. So he was only a baby. And again, he was wrapped up in tape and cloth to keep him restrained. And then the one laying down on the grass over there, posing for a photo by the looks of it, is Nanushka. And Nanushka is the lowest ranking female in the group, so she's right at the bottom of the hierarchy. And she was actually found in a pet shop in Belgium, up for sale. And then the one sat on the edge of the wire is Munya. And Munya was also found in Brussels, but sadly she was found chained up in a bar in Brussels, and she was being used for entertainment. Mm. She was the bar's mascot. And they found it amusing and entertaining to give her cigarettes to smoke. And as well as smoking them, she was eating them as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Sadly, she was addicted to nicotine from a very, very young age. And because of the nicotine, it did cause stunted growth. So that's actually why she's so small. She's the smallest female in the group. And then we have Yielder. I can't see her at the moment. As you can see, it's a very big, spacious enclosure, so it's hard to spot them sometimes. But Yielder's our dominant female, very greedy, very bossy, always gets her own way, just like all the other dominants in the group. And Yielder sadly was found in a dog cage in Morocco. They do believe they were attempting to smuggle her out of Morocco, again for the illegal pet trade.
Can I just ask you a question? Can I ask, how they establish their dominance?
Yeah. That's absolutely fine. So to establish their dominance, they will challenge each other. So sometimes the lower ranking individuals will start a fight, basically a scrap, to challenge each other for the top spot. But they will only challenge if they think they can handle it, if they're big enough to challenge the dominant one in the group. And rhesus macaques and Barbary macaques, they do lip smacking, and that's a behaviour normally they exhibit when they're challenging each other. And the Barbary macaques, they do smile at each other. And it does look friendly. So you can see we do actually have a sign on the enclosure that says don't smile at our Barbary macaques, because to them that's actually a threat. That's their way of intimidating each other and threatening each other.
Bearing teeth.
Yeah, and it looks like they're playing and it looks like they're smiling, but it's not actually a happy sign. It's actually their way of threatening each other and intimidating each other. So sometimes they'll bare their teeth and lip smack when they're challenging each other. So those are the behaviours to look out for, but normally they do have a scrap vocally or by lip smacking and baring their teeth.
Who wins the contest? How do you know who wins the contest?
So normally one of them will back down eventually. So normally the lower ranking individual eventually will give up and they will back down. So they only win the challenge if they are big enough and strong enough to overpower the dominant one in the group. But the roles change all the time. The group's dynamic always changes, so they do challenge each other quite often. For example, one of our dominant females, when she first arrived, she was our dominant female, but then at the end she ended up being the lowest ranking female on the group. So the group's dynamic can change all the time, and it can be to do with age as well. As they get older, they might drop down the ranks, they become weaker, not as strong, so they can't keep the top spot. So sometimes the youngsters, when they become sexually mature, they may challenge the dominant one for the top spot because they know they're big enough now and strong enough to take that challenge. So that's basically what happens.
Yeah. Lily Mae, tell us, how did you come to be a keeper at Monkey Haven?
Okay, so I started doing animal management at the Isle of Wight College. To start with, I did animal care for a year and then animal management for 2 years. And as a part of my course, I had to do 300 hours of work experience. So I came to Monkey Haven and I didn't actually know Monkey Haven was here. I didn't know it existed. Someone at my college actually told me about Monkey Haven. So I came up here and asked for a volunteering placement and they offered me one straight away. So I was really, really lucky, over the moon. And after a year of doing my work experience and volunteering, I was really lucky because they offered me a full-time job, and I've been here ever since. I've been here for 5 years now. I started when I was 17 and I don't plan on leaving anytime soon, so they're stuck with me whether they like it or not, because I absolutely love my job and it's definitely my dream job. I love being here. It's worthwhile. So we're now at our lar-gibbon enclosure. So on the top shelf there, we have our two female lar-gibbons. The one laying down, being groomed, is Summer. She's the daughter. She's now 13 years old. So she's a troublesome teenager, just like all teenagers, very mischievous, and she's probably the biggest troublemaker we have at the Haven, very, very naughty. And the one grooming her is her mum, so there is a mother and daughter pair, and her mum is called Razmaya. She's the oldest primate we have at the Haven now. She's 38 years old, so she's an old lady now, bless her, but hopefully she will live to 45 in captivity. So she should live up to 45 years in captivity. So fingers crossed, hopefully she'll have a long, happy life ahead of her. Now, the reason we have Razmaya and Summer is because Razmaya was previously in a breeding program, but she's now retired. She's very well travelled though. She's toured all across Europe on her breeding program, and we're now her final home. So we're basically an old people's home for some of these monkeys. We're a full-time retirement home for her. So she's just here to chill out and relax. And even though they're related, even though they're mother and daughter, they're complete opposites to one another. I don't know where Summer gets it from, because as I said, Summer's a troublemaker. She's a well-known thief here at the Haven, just like the Barbary macaques. As you can see, she does have really long thin arms that she can easily stretch out the bars out of the enclosure. And she also has a habit of pulling our hair. She loves to play fight and wrestle. And I remember when she did that to me on one of my first days working here about 5 years ago, when I started off as a volunteer. I made the mistake of getting a bit too close to the enclosure and I turned my back, and she saw the opportunity there, so she snuck up behind me. She basically tiptoed like a ninja behind me. I had no idea she was creeping up behind me, and I had my hair in plaits, which was easy for her to grab hold of, just like you.
Yeah.
So she grabbed my plaits and she shook my head up and down in front of an audience, and she found it absolutely hilarious. She's really amused. And one of Summer's favourite things to play with is cardboard boxes, because she loves to hide. She loves to package herself up. So sometimes she'll carry a cardboard box up to that top shelf there. She'll climb inside it, package herself up, and she'll wait for people to walk past. She'll hide inside it. And when people actually walk past the enclosure, she'll jump out, scare them, and then go back in the box again. So the jack-in-the-box is her most famous trick.
Oh, how sweet.
And she's not like her mum. She's not well-mannered. She's not polite and ladylike like her mum. So sometimes she will throw water at people. She'll tip up the water bowl and throw water at members of the public. So real troublemaker. And the gibbons love to sing. And that's the main main way they communicate is by singing, and they normally sing in the early hours of the morning to protect their territory against competing primates and potential predators, and also to bond. They duet with one another to form a strong bond, so they form a motherly and sort of a motherly and daughter bond with one another, strong relationship. And each family group has their own song as well, so every family is unique. So they are singing at the moment. That noise you can hear is them singing. But one of the main reasons our Lar gibbons sing is for attention. They're giant attention seekers and they love to show off. And they know the louder they sing, the more attention they get from members of the public and the bigger the crowd and audience. And that's most likely why she's done it right on cue, because she knows I'm talking about her. So she wants all the attention to be on her. And because I'm doing a radio interview, she's jealous. She doesn't like the attention being on me. She wants the attention to be on her instead. So you can have a listen to that. Hopefully she'll carry on singing. Okay, so Lar gibbons are actually lesser apes, so they're not actually classed as monkeys. They are part of the ape family, but they're not classed as great apes. They're not as large, not quite as intelligent, so they're referred to as lesser apes. The main difference between a monkey and an ape is the tail. So as you can see, the Lar gibbons don't actually have a tail. So because of the absence of the tail, they are known as an ape. And as you can see, they do have really elongated limbs. So they have really long arms, really long legs. And they actually have 3 times an adult human's arm strength. So they're incredibly powerful, really, really, really strong. And they use their long arms to swing from branch to branch. That's the main way they travel around. And in the wild, gibbons will never go closer than 8 metres to the forest floor. So they live their whole lives up high in the treetops. So yeah, really, really long arms, and they're a beautiful blonde colour. And they do also have white hands. So sometimes they are referred to as the white-handed gibbon. And they do have a white ring around their face. So they're very, 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 very pretty, very beautiful. But our 2 female Lar gibbons definitely know it. They definitely know they're beautiful, their poses too. Hold it tight because she will take it. So I'll introduce you to Jimmy and Boona now. They're more recent rescues.
Oh, now I've heard about Jimmy's appeal for plastic pigs.
Yes, so the pig appeal. So Jimmy is obsessed with pigs. He absolutely adores them, loves them to pieces. So I'll tell you about the pigs and all about the reason why he has pigs and all about Jimmy's story once we get over there.
Lovely.
So they're just in this middle enclosure. Hopefully he'll come outside in just a moment.
So they're manga bees.
Yes. So So they're both cherry-crowned manga bees. So we have 1 male and 1 female. Our female's actually sunbathing at the back of the enclosure on the wooden pole. And her name is Boona. And the male is called Jimmy. And they're both now around 18 years old. So they're both a similar age. And they are both rescues. So Boona came from Barcelona Zoo. She was the lowest ranking female in her group. And sadly, she was badly bullied by her group. They all targeted her and picked on her. So Barcelona Zoo kindly donated Boona to the AAP so Jimmy could have a girlfriend. Now, Jimmy has actually spent 14 years of his life on his own, so he's had a very, very lonely life. He was rescued by the AAP, but before he was rescued by the AAP, he was found in Germany. He was roaming the streets in Germany. He was actually walking down a German freeway.
Oh, and he's been dumped.
Yeah, most likely. They believe he is a victim of the illegal pet trade. When you see him, you will realise part of his tail's missing. Mm-hmm. So it may have been docked, he could have been used for entertainment, he may have been a victim of the illegal pet trade. Well, unfortunately, we'll never know his full story because no one claimed him, no one confessed to owning him, most likely because they would have been prosecuted for keeping him illegally in Germany. But his owner may have deliberately let him go, or he may have accidentally escaped. But he, as I said, he was found walking down a German freeway, and the people that found him, discovered him, they took him to a kennels. There he is, there's Jimmy. Most likely because they didn't know what to do with a monkey. It's not every day you find a monkey walking down the street. So they took him to a kennels, and sadly he lived there for 7 years all on his own in a dog and cat kennels. But then luckily the AAP found him, and as I said earlier, the AAP is only a temporary home, so they mainly just rescue and rehabilitate and nurse them back to full health. And when they're healthy enough, and sometimes when they've been introduced in with others, then they'll be moved on to a permanent home. But he was at the AAP for about another 7 years all on his own, and that's because sadly no one wanted him. No zoos or sanctuaries were willing to give him a home. No one wanted to give him a home. So as I said, altogether 14 years he's been on his own. But now he's living with Boona. So we agreed to take Jimmy, but luckily 6 weeks before Jimmy was due to arrive here at Monkey Haven, he was introduced in with his girlfriend Boona at the AAP, and they've now been living happily together for the last year and a half. But Boona's nickname is the Pig Murderer, because she has a habit of destroying the pigs. She's very destructive, she loves to break everything, and the pigs actually get more attention than she gets. Jimmy gives the pigs way more attention, so she's a bit of a jealous girlfriend. So when Jimmy's back's turned, she'll sneak up behind him, steal his pig, and she'll tear it into pieces, which is why we've launched the Pig Appeal, because of the pig murderer and the pig lover. So the reason Jimmy loves pigs so much is because at the AAP, as a part of his rehabilitation, they gave him loads of toys to play with, because at one point he got so lonely and so stressed he did start ripping out his own fur. Unfortunately, this is an abnormal behaviour that primates do exhibit when they're stressed or lonely or upset, and at one point one whole side of his body was bald, so they knew they had to do something. And he was the only Cherry Crown Mangabey they ever rescued, which is why he was on his own to start with, and they really struggled to rehome him. So they gave him loads of toys to play with to keep him occupied, to keep him busy, and so he had a sense of like someone there, company for him. And he fell in love with one of the toys they gave him, and it was a toy rubber pig, and they gave it to him a very long time ago. And apparently he actually decided himself to bring his original pig with him when he knew he was coming to the Isle of Wight. He actually brought it with him when he was due to arrive here on the island. So he did come with an original pig. Unfortunately though, the pig murderer destroyed that pig, so we have given him replacements, but as long as it's a toy rubber pig, he will accept it. But he's quite a funny character, because he won't accept any other toys. It has to be a rubber pig. So for some reason, he's obsessed with pigs. He absolutely loves pigs. And we literally, at the moment, we've literally got a whole basket of toy rubber pigs. So we've always got replacements. We've got a constant supply, which is quite handy, because Boona's very, very destructive.
Very jealous.
Very, very, very jealous.
Jimmy and Boona, how long did it take them to kind of integrate with each other?
So it did take some time. Unfortunately, I don't know how long exactly, because the introduction did occur at the AAP, but I would imagine it would have taken a long time, quite a few weeks to introduce them, because you have to introduce them gradually. You can't just put them straight in the enclosure and hope for the best. You have to introduce them gradually. So they most likely were in enclosures next door to each other, so they could gradually get used to one another, and then they would have slowly introduced them over a period of time. But as I said, she was introduced in with Jimmy 6 weeks before he was due to arrive here, but she would have been housed on her own for a while, I would imagine, to get used to her surroundings and to get used to all the other primates that were around her. But it would have been a gradual process, but unfortunately I don't know exactly how long it took.
Can you tell us the enclosures you have? What kind of enrichment have you got? Because obviously they've got so much to do here, and that's part of your rehabilitation of these rescued and abused creatures.
Yeah, so we always make sure every day we give them different enrichment, new enrichment every single day to keep them busy and occupied. We also do scatter feeds as well, which is feeds that we throw over the top of the enclosure that scatter and spread everywhere. So it'll be things like seeds, nuts, sweet corn, peas, a wheat scatter, for example, and we'll throw that over the top of the enclosure. It spreads everywhere and it encourages them to forage throughout the day, keeping them busy, because in the wild primates do spend most of their day looking for food, always looking for food, very, very greedy animals. And we will put, obviously, permanent enrichment in the enclosure, like swings, slides. Some of our monkeys have actually had seesaws before, also pools as well. We put ponds in the enclosure, so that's the permanent fixed enrichment. And then we will put different enrichment in there every day, like toys. So we put feeding puzzles in there. We have lots of different feeding puzzles, so they have to work for their food and it keeps them really busy throughout the day. And also Kongs as well, the toys, the rubber toys that you can give dogs, we can actually give to our primates as well. And Kong are nice enough, they kindly donate loads of their products to us, so we get lots of Kongs and they absolutely love those. We also give them ice lollies and we'll put food inside the ice lollies, so they have to work for their food. But there's all sorts of different toys that we give them to keep them entertained. Lots of foraging bags, foraging pools. Some of them love sand pits, ball pits. Sometimes we put water in paddling pools as well, so they have to fish it out. There's lots of different toys and enrichment we give them to keep them busy, so they're very spoilt. And we do have an Amazon wish list as well, so we have a lot of toys and enrichment on our Amazon wish list, and members of the public are more than welcome to order things on our Amazon wish list and it will get sent straight here to Monkey Haven as a gift from them, a present from them.
That's really good.
Yeah, it is really good. Yeah. And obviously now we're a registered charity as well, so we do completely rely on public donation and people buying things off of our Amazon wish list. But since we became a registered charity, we have definitely got a lot more support. It has been a lot easier because a lot more people sponsor the animals, sponsor enclosures, and actually send donations to us now that we're a registered charity.
That's very nice.
So it's great. It's greatly appreciated because it makes a massive difference. Yeah. Even if it's £2, even £2 in a money box will make a massive difference. It will have a big impact. And we do normally launch different appeals every year to raise money for a certain enclosure or certain animal. But yeah, it really, really helps.